The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Now, I'm always incredibly conscious of the content that I do consume and absorb, and the majority of what I do actually absorb or consume is definitely on social media. I don't watch TV and I rarely watch movies, and I think that's a massive thing for me, is that I actually follow under like 100 accounts, and I'm very, very quick to unfollow and clear out any accounts that don't serve me. And today's guest is an account that I always log on to and watch, and I always leave feeling more inspired and full, and I always learn something. And I swear that my camera roll is probably a majority of screenshots, from like gardening tips to book suggestions and recommendations to cute little quotes to bees to everything in between. And I just feel so wholesome after watching the stories. And I hope that today's episode aligns with so many of you, and that you walk away being able to follow today's account and feel exactly the same way that I do. And the account is Finding Harmony. And with that, welcome to Flourish and Fulfilled, Harmony. How are you?
I'm beautiful. Thank you, Soph. It's so lovely to finally meet you.
I know. Yeah. I feel like I've followed you for years online, and I just, every single time I see something of you online, I literally am just like, oh my God. And it's like, it's so good to finally actually meet you in person. So that's really cool.
Oh, that's so lovely. I feel the same, because I've been following you, and the way that you mother is just so inspiring to me. Your relationship that you have with your kids, it's just something that, I don't know, I just resonate with them. Like, that thing that she has, I want that thing. I want to cultivate that thing within my family too.
Yeah, I feel like we're very aligned in regards to parenting and like conscious parenting as well. And it's very, very similar. And I know that in regards to like helicopter parenting and stuff, we are so opposite ends of that. And every time I see you post something in regards to your kids or them hurting themselves or letting them learn a lesson for themselves, I'm like, yeah. Let them fail. It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us a little bit in your own words in regards to about yourself, where you've come from, what you do, and for those that perhaps have never heard anything about you or your account, what you're about?
Yeah, cool. So my name's Harmony. I'm a mother of three. I'm a meditation teacher, and I became a mum quite young. I fell in love young, got married young, and I've always sort of been that old soul in that sense, where I've been gardening ever since I was 18. And, you know, I remember being a small girl and bushwalking and taking my books out with me and trying to identify different native plants and what were their uses and how were they edible. And, you know, I've always just had this curiosity in life and this openness to look at things with wonder. And I think that that's something that I've really enjoyed exploring now as I'm in my adulthood, just trying to remember what was that aspect or that childhood essence of myself that has never changed, and how can I allow that to come through into my life now. And that's sort of, you know, shaped what I share online and how I choose to live my life, which really is, you know, with the ethos that I want to live a mindful life, and how can I cultivate, you know, meaningful moments from the mundane things.
Now, as a meditation coach, I'm just going totally left of field here. Yeah. As a meditation coach, I remember when I first started following you, it was like 300 hours or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it now? Like,
oh, well.
Do you even track that?
No, I don't track it. Well, I've got one of the apps that I meditate with, the Insight Timer, and so that tracks your time every single day. I haven't looked in ages how many hours I've tracked it. But for my advanced diploma meditation, that was 300 hours. But I meditate for about, you know, 40 minutes every day on a good day. Some days you miss here and there, but yeah, it's every day.
You're a Vedic meditation coach?
No, I'm not a Vedic meditation teacher. Okay. No, I've always been interested in it. Like, I want to learn more about it. I know
That's what I studied or learned, taught. I was taught. I haven't studied it. That's what I was taught. Yeah. And I guess for me, it was just such a beautiful eye-opening experience to implement in my own life. Yeah. So when you say like 300 hours, I'm like, what the heck? Like, I don't even know how. That is insane. So hopefully I'll get there one day. Now, before we get started on today's episode, I like to do like some fire questions just so that the audience can get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
So just answer like the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. All right. Favorite food?
Pasta.
Yum. If you could travel anywhere tomorrow, where would you go?
New Zealand. Something about the land is calling me back.
Yeah, beautiful. Is that your heritage?
Yeah, so I'm Māori. Okay. And yeah, I've got South African in there, Irish, Swedish, so a bit of a mixed bag.
For those of you that are listening, go to Harmony's account and look at her because she is so bloody beautiful. Some of my favourite things though is like when you do throwback photos and it's like as we're younger, we hide our natural beauty so much and watching your progression to today is huge. Like,
oh my gosh. The amount of makeup that I used to get every single day, I was just like, oh my gosh.
But you're like one of those perfect examples that you look so much better with like minimal. Anyway, sorry, back to fire questions. Alter ego name.
Oh, it would have to be Honey because of my bees. Yeah.
Yeah, cute. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
What is your favourite swear word?
Oh, it'd have to be shit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
What is your weird quirk?
Oh, maybe that I just don't like being damp, like wet feet, damp towels, anything like that. I know it's weird, but it's actually passed on a generation to my daughter.
Yeah.
And so she's, oh, it's so hilarious to watch her get out of the shower. And when there's a towel that's been used by one of the boys, she's like, yuck, I'm not using this. I'm like, how did I genetically pass that on to you?
Yeah, epigenetics. Yeah, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? It's funny, like, you never realize how weird you are until you have kids and they turn out exactly like you. And you're like, they're fucked.
Yeah.
So you're like, ooh. What is something that you wish everybody knew?
Oh, I love to teach this in meditation. I wish that everybody knew that they were perfect just as they are. No need to change anything. Just perfect.
I love that. Do you have any hidden talents?
Yeah. So before I had kids, I met my best friend now. We met through pole fitness.
How cool!
Yeah, I was really good. I used to be able to do so many cool tricks. We were really into the acrobatic side of it, doing flags, and just we were so strong.
How cool!
Yeah, so maybe I could do a trick.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll add that one to the show notes. What is your worst habit?
I think I'm annoying to work with in the office because I'm like always coughing or sneezing because I have like allergies.
That's so funny that you have allergies, like with all of your gardening, bees, animals, everything. Yeah. That's so funny. What's your favorite drink?
Oh, like tea or gin and tonic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most used emoji?
Probably like the puppy dog face.
Oh, yeah, cute.
Yeah.
Most used word?
Ooh. Alignment, nature.
Worst word?
Oh, just like any sort of really dirty swear word. I work with a lot of tradies, so see you.
What's the best dream that you've ever had?
Oh, so I had this really amazing dream. I suppose it would have to be any sort of like psychic dream that I've had,
or yeah,
like that sort of tendency. But I had this one dream once where I dreamt about a mutual friend and her husband, and they were drawing on cement and they wrote the word grateful, right? Totally random dream. And I just remember feeling in this dream that they were so grateful and happy and loved. And anyway, I ended up messaging her the next day. I sent her a voice message. Like, I had this really weird off-the-cuff dream about you. Don't know what it means, but yeah, you can just have that information. And she was like, oh my goodness, were you at my house last night? This is so creepy. Like, what are you saying? Were you watching me? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, last night my husband and I went downstairs into our garage and drew a huge rainbow for our kids and said, we love you.
For
like a surprise for them when they woke up and they're just like those sort of parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so creepy and weird. But yeah, that was pretty memorable.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you ever track your dreams?
No. I always forget them.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm like such a big dream tracker because I just feel like there has to be something to it. Like it's either like something coming or our intentions or our subconscious. I'm such a big dream tracker. What are you most proud of?
Oh, it'd have to be my husband and my kids.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Oh. How long have you and your husband been together?
Oh, I'm not very good at maths anymore, but since I was 15. Oh, 16, yeah.
Insane. How old are you now, if you don't
I'm 29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not good at maths either, so we'll just leave that at that.
Yeah, we'll leave it there.
If you could give your life a movie title, what would it be?
Oh, it'd have to be Finding Harmony.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. What's your favourite quote?
Oh, I just came across one, actually. It's really beautiful. Maybe there's no such thing as time, only moments.
Oh, I love that. We're currently like living in a tiny apartment, the boys and I, so that they can get to school because of the border issues. Yeah. And in order to make it a little bit more homely or inspiring or something to look forward to, I started doing these quotes in the morning for them on the window.
Yeah.
And every single morning I have to like think of a quote. And because we've now been here for months, it's like my quotes are getting worse and worse. So some mornings the boys wake up and they read it and they're like, no, mum, no. Like, good try, but no. Didn't quite pull it off. So I might steal that one. That'll be tomorrow's quote of the day. Now, before we get into today's episode, I just want to start with your why. You live a very low tox, low waste conscious life. Was there like a particular moment or point that triggered that for you, or have you always been this way? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, so I definitely haven't always been this way. I grew up like most people, not really aware or conscious of our environmental impact. But it wasn't until I probably had my daughter. I had a friend in my life who I now consider a mentor, and she had two kids and she just started environmentalism and activism and all of those sorts of things. And she actually changed her family from just an everyday normal household to zero waste.
Yeah.
And I was really inspired by that because I thought, you know, I've seen zero waste done before, but I've never seen it done in a family setting before. And it's just felt like something that was so foreign and almost impossible to do having young kids, especially, you know, when they're young and they need all of these different things. And so that really inspired me. And from there, I started educating myself on the climate crisis and what that meant for my kids' future and being a mother. That really felt important to me to help raise my kids with this awareness as well and take some responsibility back within our own household. Okay, well, what are we going to do? If we care about this thing, then what can we do as a family to make a change? So, yeah, it really came from that.
Awesome. Do you consider yourself waste-free? Is that?
No. I consider myself low waste, lower waste. You know, sometimes it can be really hard on myself and think, oh, you know, there's plastic in the house and there are some things making their way in. But then I really have to reflect back at how much waste we used to really create in our house. And one really beautiful way that I like to think about just environmentalism and trying to make more conscious decisions is low waste can be a spectrum.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be zero waste or nothing. You can try and bring in little habits within your own life that, you know, make a difference.
You definitely show on your account how to implement change and small changes, which are very achievable for everybody. Even like going to the takeaway shop and asking to have something in without takeaway cups. And I remember like a couple of weeks back that the kids were given it in plastic even when you asked for it not to be. And it's insane. It's what's the philosophy? Is it Montessori?
Yeah, there you go.
And like from birth, they're taught to be able to handle china, knives and forks, everything, to be able to set them up to not have to use plastic. So I thought that was really, really, really cool.
I'm so for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my kids don't really use plastic, but I'm not low waste. I like stuttered my words then because I was like, I don't want anyone to be like Sophie. Come on, girl. Like I admire you. Like but I am definitely not low waste. One of my favorite things ever was you receiving bees and showing and like, I guess, educating people on the importance of bees. Now, I grew up on a farm, so we had beekeepers and we had heaps of beehives on the vineyards because it's really good for the grapes as well. And so it wasn't a new concept to me. Did you find that people were like mind blown that you were letting the kids around them? Like, how was that whole process online and the way that it was?
Yeah, people were definitely like, oh my gosh, but bees sting, that's so dangerous, all of that. But for me, it's just about, you know, giving the kids that awareness and that relationship with nature to understand that, it's not something to be feared, nature.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think in the Western world especially, that we've become so disconnected from that. And we really do have this fear around natural things. And so, yeah, for me, I always knew why I was bringing it in. I always knew that there was going to be a potential, you know, danger of being stung, but for me that was like a learning lesson for the kids of you have to show respect to nature and the things around you, in the same way that I would protect my children if there were, you know, to be rocks thrown at the beehive, which my boys have done before and they got stung, and you know what, to this day they've never disturbed the bees again. So it's all about just bringing awareness and that understanding.
That is like the best lesson ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Were you just sitting back like,
I was like, are you okay? But yeah, do you see why?
At least they weren't allergic. At least they weren't allergic.
Exactly.
But it's so true, isn't it? Like even with sharks, we have this huge fear. And the stats are is that we're more likely to hit a cow and die in our cars than what we would by a shark attack. And I know people that won't even go in the water at the beach because they're so fearful of sharks or animals or octopus or whatever it might be that they're afraid of, which is just part of nature.
Exactly.
Now, within the social realms online, you have obviously a very inspiring way of living a low waste life. Do you have any tips that listeners would be able to take home that they can implement at home to live a lower waste life?
Yeah. So my first tip would be to just develop your why. Like, what is it? What is the reason why you want to do this? Because that's going to be the thing that's going to support you through making your changes in your habits, because that's a difficult thing. You know, you're going to feel that resistance. And so developing that why will help you just to be able to reinforce why you're making all of those changes. And then have open discussions with your family. And you really do have to be open and not judgmental with people. Like, it's your own journey, it's your own choice, and you can only lead by example. So yeah, just having that foundation, and then maybe just developing like a little list of maybe like three things that you want to do. For me at the start, it was, you know what, I don't enjoy going to the supermarkets. I'm going to go to the farmer's market every week and get my fruit and veg. And that's what I'm going to do. The rest I can do it at Coles and the supermarkets and things like that. But that's where I'm going to start. And then from there, it just snowballed on to, okay, maybe now I can get some pantry items that are low waste from a bulk food store. And then, you know, you just keep adopting things from there. And I think that's a really nice, natural way to do it, and not to overwhelm yourself, but just do whatever feels comfortable to you. But maybe just pick like three things, like, these are my action points. This is what I can do today. And then, yeah, just give it a go. Like, don't be scared. I know it can feel impossible because of the world that we live in and with convenience. But, you know, what we know from making these changes, getting back to simple things, is what brings us happiness in life. You know, it is going to the markets and having a talk to your local banana farmer. Like, I love seeing my banana farmer every week, Gary, and we have a chat.
Gazza.
Yeah. You know, and he tells me, I'm growing bananas at home. And I'm like, Gary, how do I get these bananas bigger? And he gives me the tips. And, you know, you talk to your meat supplier or your seafood supplier, and they tell you what's in season. And like, that's what it's all about, is getting a community around you. And that in itself is just such a great way to support the environment and enrich your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your garden, your home garden, has just had a huge makeover, and it is insane. Like, such a beautiful sanctuary. How much produce do you get from that?
Oh, I get all of my like weekly greens and tomatoes, all of that sort of stuff, like, from there. So it actually saves you money. Like,
and growing chickens.
I've got chickens. Yeah. I've got my eggs. I've got honey. Like, I haven't bought honey in over a year. So yeah, it feels really good to be self-sustainable in that way. But then also just like having that respect, because when you grow things, you realize the life cycle, and like, okay, a zucchini takes like 6 weeks to grow.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have this respect for when you're preparing food, you know, you don't want to waste it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We grew up on a farm where everything we ate, we grew.
And amazing.
So, yeah, I think upon reflection, it was amazing. At the time, I was like, why can't we just eat like normal people?
Yeah.
Like, we never had McDonald's. We never had fresh juice. We never had anything like that, because my parents didn't raise us like that. Yeah. We went out on the boat and caught our own fish and stuff. Everything that we ate was either something that we had hand-reared, caught, or grown.
So sustainable.
So sustainable. Yeah. That's the whole thing, because, well, my mum's a Jehovah's Witness, so it's kind of like within her belief system is that the world we live in at the moment is going to end, and she wanted to be able to build a farm that could literally sustain itself, which is amazing. And I think the biggest lesson that I was taught out of that was the seasons of produce. Whereas like kids, well, I know even my girls, they're like, we want peaches. I'm like, it's not peach season. And they're like, but we want peaches. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you're either going to have it imported from the US and it's probably been in a freezer for the last 3 months, or you're not having peaches. Yeah. And it's also like a massive budgeting hack as well, is that when we eat in season or in produce or from the farmers markets, it's always going to help the budget as well, because it's in season, instead of it being like $14 a kilo to be $2 a kilo.
Exactly. And I've actually heard too, there's research out there to say that food that is seasonal actually has specific microbiome and bacteria on it that supports you through that season.
Yeah.
So there's also like a health benefit to eating seasonally as well.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Like breast milk.
Yeah.
Mm, insane. The other thing with farmers markets as well is the seconds boxes.
Yeah, amazing.
You have shared a lot of second boxes, and it's like, the produce is amazing. Like, it is such good produce, and you could literally eat a whole box out of it and get everything that you need from that. Mm-hmm. So that's another massive budget saving hack. Now, how has your partner gone? So you've obviously been together since you were 15.
Yep.
Is he in the exact same philosophy in regards to low waste? Has he adopted the same sort of changes? Has that caused any issues?
Oh, at the start, there was that resistance, which there's always going to be when, you know, somebody has an understanding and knows better and then somebody doesn't. So it's about that teaching period and just trying to be as open and, you know, as generous as you can with somebody who doesn't have the same information that you do. So
yeah,
it has been a really long process. But we have got to this really beautiful stage now where he's just so on the same page. Like last night we had soccer training, it was really late and we were really tired. We were planning to go out for takeaway. And I said, to make life easier for you guys, did you just want to pick something up? And he goes, Bahams, that will come in plastic. And I was like, yes, well, can we just go? Yeah, and just eat it there. And so he has gotten on board now, which is really beautiful and comes with just like staying persistent and staying and true to what you want to do. But it hasn't always been that way. And sometimes he doesn't, you know, he brings things into the house that, you know, I'm not happy with. But yeah, it's just the journey, really.
And
yeah.
When he does, you recycle it. You have so many. Oh, my God.
I'm a bit of a hoarder.
Yeah. No, but you've got so many uses for things. I'm like, how did you make that? Like it's, yeah, you use everything and recycle it. So it's really, really, really cool to be able to see. Yeah. Now, obviously, we've spoken about your garden and how much produce you actually get from it and the sustainability of that. You mentioned earlier that you've been gardening since you were 18. Is this like a constant learning evolution? Like, how did you learn how to garden? Because I can't even keep my tomatoes alive.
Yeah. So I'm a bookworm like you, so I love reading. So, yeah, reading lots. And then just getting out there and talking to people, like talking to farmers. I went to a really great workshop where I met farmers and they showed us around and they, like, showed us all of their permaculture ways, and that was really inspiring. So just, like, getting out there or even getting a gardening mentor. Like, if somebody came to me from my local area and was like, can I just come and talk to you about your garden? I'd be like, yes, please, you know, share knowledge, create that community around yourself. But, you know, if you don't have access to that, just jumping online onto YouTube, it's really great. Just Google permaculture, gardening, all of that. There's so much information available to us.
It's so crazy. Did you have horticulture as a subject at school?
No.
See, like where I grew up, it was actually a compulsory subject.
And in Adelaide?
Well, country Adelaide, McLaren Vale.
Yeah, but Adelaide's amazing.
Like, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah. But at the time, we're all like, no one's doing horticulture. Now I'm like, how do I grow my tomatoes? I'm going to go back to school. So it's kind of like that life cycle of being like, I'd like to go back and relearn everything that I didn't actually absorb. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because they're the actual essentials that we need in life, and that's what's actually important. Mm-hmm. And where I live down south, there's so many farms around me. And the noticeable difference between them is the colours of soils.
Yeah.
And that's so massive. I'm not sure where you live, but is it a built-up suburb? Is it like, is the soil, did you have to actually get bags of soil in for your garden, or was it quality soil?
I had to create the soil. So I live in suburbia.
Yeah.
But that's something that I love doing, like creating a recipe of soil. Yeah. It's like a good like spaghetti bolognese, you know, I love it.
Manure, chicken poo.
Yeah, I love it.
That's so good. All right. So I love that you also do the most beautiful things with your friends. Like you do clothing swaps and often you're tagged in your friends' stories of giving them fresh produce, and you do a lot of hand-me-downs and op shop finds, and you allow the life cycle around your belongings rather than like choosing fast fashion. How do you resist the urge, like especially online and on Instagram? Like if I post a photo wearing the same item of clothing, which I do often, people are like, do you even have any clothes? And I cop a lot of flack from it. How do you find that pressure online and being able to change that from being quality over quantity?
Yeah, so I do buy things new, and I do say like exactly what you just said, quality over quantity. And I just like to bring things into my home that make me feel really good. And I have this rule where if I'm going to buy clothes or bring an item into the house, it has to go with three other things that are already within my wardrobe. So I really have to think about it. It sort of slows down that buying process.
Yeah, okay.
Can I wear it seasonally? I don't want to just be able to wear this once. Like, even if I am going to buy a dress that maybe I might only wear at a specific time of year, maybe Christmas time, but I'm going to use that for years and years. So is it a timeless piece that's going to be able to last through the seasons? And I think it just, you know, getting comfortable with your own style and not being like pulled by all of the different trends, which is really hard for me at the moment because green is like such a trend at the moment, and green is my favorite color. But yeah, I think just getting creative. I remember being a teenager and going op shopping and, you know, trying on different things and seeing what everybody was wearing and just like having fun and being creative of what we're wearing and not worrying too much about what other people think, but being comfortable in our own style and our own skin is really, yeah, good.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah, I love the way you do that. And I love the way that you also have like a community within your friendships as well, and being able to like I often see you having all the kids at your house, which is like my house. It's like a drop-in center yeah. of kids, like, which I absolutely, that's me too. I'm like a forever maternal mum. I could have 12 kids and still not have enough.
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh, Steph's having more dudes. and I love that. But I also love the fact that you often give your produce to your friends.
Yeah, I love it. I forgot. I was like, oh, I don't have time to get Sophie some tomatoes. I was going to bring you some.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at the moment, because I'm living in an apartment, my life's so disjointed and I just don't feel the same in regards to my grounding of being at home in my house, cooking at home, anything like that. It's just so much, it's so different. It's such a different world having an apartment life instead of living at my house. So, Now, alongside running a business, being a mum, currently renovating or is it done? We did a reveal. I love, oh my God, like it was insane the difference.
I know, it was big, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was going to be that big.
It's huge. That is like, and even the secret gate where the garden is, that's so beautiful. You're also a meditation teacher and you have so many hours up your sleeve with that. What sparked your interest in regards to meditation and how does that practice impact your life? So just recapping there, you run a business, you have three kids, renovating the house and doing all these other things at the same time of still being able to fit in your meditation every day.
Mm. Yeah, so meditation is something that I found in my early years. I was 18 again, and I went through a depressive episode in my life. So I really became aware of how dangerous an unchecked mind can be. And, you know, I came across meditation through Russell Brand on YouTube, of all people, like he's everywhere now. But at the time, he was talking to the Dalai Lama, and it was just really eye-opening to have this concept where, you know, you could do this practice and you could bring awareness to your mind and you could create space where, you know, you didn't have to attach to and identify with all of the thoughts going on in your mind, especially if you're going through a hard time or you're really struggling or you're stressed. There's lots of thoughts going constantly throughout the mind throughout the day. And if we really live our life listening to all of those thoughts, it can be, you know, we can be led astray. And so from a really early age, I learned that that was a practice that I needed to do in my life, and it just felt really natural. And I just know that it's something that I'll continue to do for the rest of my life. And I love the journey of it because it is a lifelong practice. And it really, if you allow it to be a part, it can just become a part of your life, really. And it doesn't have to be like another thing to do. It should never feel like that. It should just be a part of your life and something that you recognize, you know, when you don't do it, you're like, oh, there's that thing that I'm missing. Yeah.
It's amazing as well, teaching kids. I know you mentioned before is that it's more of a kids learn by what you're currently doing. And I know that your kids are the same, that if they see me meditating, they come and they'll just sneak in silently and jump on my lap or whatever. And they don't ever interrupt me. And even the boys, like no one ever interrupts me, although the boys make fun of me after. Yeah. They think my face is like this, like when I'm meditating. I'm like, I did not do that. So they always tease me. But the girls, they'll come in, lay with me and not say a word for 20 minutes.
And it's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
To like have a child sit there for that amount of time and you're just like, this is an amazing skill that they're, you know, able to bear witness to. It's something that I've loved as well, like allowing the kids to watch that and see them, you know, allow them to see me set that boundary for myself. You know, I had a meditation teacher in my early days say to me, you know, when you become a mum, because I was pregnant at the time, you always make sure that you practice your meditation. This is for you. And it's okay to leave your kids there with an activity or to tell them this is mommy's time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 20 minutes and you're going to have my full attention after this, but this is my time. But then, you know, I started reading Buddhism for Mothers.
I was going to say that. my favorite parenting book.
It's so good. Yeah. And I love this part in there where they said you should allow your meditation to flow naturally over into your own life. And I just thought, oh, that's it. That's what you're supposed to do as well. When kids come in and they might disrupt you or, you know, something in life comes in, you should allow that practice to flow smoothly through. And, you know, if your practice isn't helping you off your mat, then, you know, you really need to think about like how you can use your open-eyed practice and how can you go throughout your life, you know, bringing and cultivating that sense of calmness and presence and openness to your daily life.
And response instead of reaction as well. Yeah. And even like when I'm at the beach now, I only learnt meditation last year in June. So very, very new for me. And noticing the differences that I see is that I am much more present. So if I'm at the beach with the kids, I can just sit there and just be. rather than have to do. And that's the biggest change that I've noticed for me. And I've seen that online you've done some beautiful like couple practices for meditation. Do you find that that's a really like beautiful part of meditation? Do you do couple stuff often?
So I haven't done it often. That was, yeah, I've done a lot for friends, couple yeah. meditation, which is just so beautiful. I really love seeing like the couples come together in that sort of space. But yeah, it's not something that I teach often. My husband and I have done it a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have our own individual practice, which is really nice. Like he does his thing, I do my thing, and then we come together and yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, you and your partner have been together for a long time, and we mentioned that. Has anyone actually worked out the amount of years? Nope, still, we're still here at 15 and 29. Yeah, that's what we're going to say.
That's it.
Has this, it's 13 years, just as an FYI. Next wedding anniversary.
Oh, he is going to listen back to this and be like, are you kidding me, hum?
Well, see, so I've got four kids. Mm. And my big thing is the mental load of having to remember date of birth.
Oh, their birthdays.
Oh, my God.
And mine are all so close together.
It's so hard. So, like, I always jumble up the twins and Ryder's. So Ryder's is the 25th, the twins is the 31st. Wow, I still stumbled on it. And I always have to really pull myself to remember. So adding a wedding anniversary into that, no thank you. Yeah. Now, how has your relationship evolved over time? And given that you were together at 15, the person that you are now at 29, I'm assuming is entirely different. How has that evolved together?
Yeah, so it's been like there's been hard times. But it's definitely when you've been together with somebody for so long, you really do have to grow together. And there are times where you'll feel that resistance where you might be growing apart. But if it really, you know, for us, we always knew that, you know, we wanted to be together. And so, you know, just really having open communication, honest communication, and then like doing our own work on ourselves is just so important to be able to come to the table with, you know, a sense of maturity. Because you really do have to mature over the years and like let go of some of those things that you might have been holding on to and just learn to grow together. And yeah, that's what we've been able to do. We've gotten to a really nice space. But yeah, there's definitely been hard times. You know, we run a business together.
Yeah. So you work together as well.
We work together. So that is like a whole monster in itself. I feel like it's a lot. Yeah. Like managing money, managing finances and wages and staff and being that person that, you know, that business partner that you call on every day to just talk business and then run a family and, you know, be in love and do all of those things, it can be quite difficult.
Do you find that you have like a practice of switching off from work to home?
Yeah, now we do.
Yeah.
We started going to therapy for that.
Yeah.
So we
That's a huge thing, isn't
boundaries.
It?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you work together, I know that for Nathan and I, like we were working together. We'd go home, we'd have our laptops open, we'd sit in bed with our laptops open and work all night.
Yep.
And it was just, there was no segregation between home life and work life because it was all that grind of like work.
Yeah.
What are some changes that you made in regards to implementing that difference?
Oh, so for us, it was really figuring out, okay, we can compartmentalize life. And just if work is stressful and work is overwhelming and we have a lot going on in that aspect of our life, it doesn't have to spew over into every other aspect of our life.
Yeah.
So it's really just like for us compartmentalizing, okay, work is this little thing. Okay. And then we can come together at the end of the day and not talk about work and not start, you know, talking about business and just, can we just swim in the pool and can we just enjoy this moment together and can we just have a hug and, you know, how are you feeling today? Not as a business partner, but like as my partner, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, just asking those really simple things and taking the time to consider them and then them taking the time to consider you on that really human level just builds that connection, I feel. And then, yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, in regards to meditation and teaching and like with the current climate that we have, how are you finding teaching and have you swapped to being online? How does that look for you?
Yeah. So now I've swapped to teaching online and so I'm offering online courses.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Next year I'm really excited because I'm launching a online meditation studio. So a hub for people to come and drop in to some weekly meditations and a monthly focus for that month. And
that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And how does that look when it's online? Do you have like boundaries that you set with clients? Is that in regards to when you are teaching, is it on Zoom? No kids around? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So it's on Zoom, which is really good. Yeah. And then, so my kids are pretty good So they'll be quiet most of the time. They're so much older now. Like I can't believe how quickly they've grown, you know. I was only teaching online like 6 months ago and I used to have to worry about them waking up crying, but they don't do that anymore. And
it's now, insane.
Yeah, now they just get up and, you know, go about their business. So, yeah, it's pretty easy at the moment with them.
What about parents that are perhaps at home that do want to learn how to meditate and they do have young kids? Can they just mute themselves? Like, how does that
Yeah,
work?
You just mute yourself.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, yep. So I, like, as people jump into the Zoom, I can just have everybody's microphone switched off.
Yeah.
So, and if you've got kids around you, that's perfectly fine. You can join without your video. I like to say just come and show your face just for a minute so
yeah.
we can just, you know, have that resonance together and then switch off if you feel comfortable. But it's a really beautiful way for people to learn because they can do it in their own home. So they're really comfortable, especially if they're learning something new. So, yeah, it's just a really nice way for them to have access to this sort of teaching.
I love that. Yeah. I love that even like I always say that human connection is like our biggest thing in life and right now that we have very little of it. So being able to get that in any way, shape or form is amazing. So that sounds beautiful. If people did want to find that for next year, where do they find that?
Yes, they could go to www.findingharmonyproject.com. Or follow me on Instagram at Finding Harmony and all of the links will be there.
Yeah. And even if you're not interested in learning how to meditate, I would still suggest going to your Instagram. I just love it. There's so much wholesome, beautiful things. And like Tam and I were talking, our producer in the studio at the moment, we're talking in regards to your account before you got here. And it's just so wholesome. And every time I log in, I literally find something new that I haven't ever learned before and so many new book recommendations. And it's just amazing. Now, if you could pass on just one piece of advice for people listening today, what would it be?
It would be to create a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just create a community around what your values are and then, just really find support in that and don't be scared to make different choices in life. If that's what you want to do, if you want to make more low-waste choices for your family, just create those choices, you know, in terms of how it looks for you and it's not going to look like everybody else. And, just do what's in your little heart. Get back to that childhood essence that we spoke about at the start and, connect back with that and, just live your life.
I love that. Thank you so much. Now, I always finish every episode with the book that I'm reading of the week and for guests, their favourite book or most impactful book. And if you don't have one, I'm happy for you to share as many as you like because I knew you wouldn't just have one. So what are they?
Okay, so Meditation, Untethered Soul.
Okay.
Untethered Soul, you have to read that one. And then for Spiritual Ecology, or if you've got a little environmentalist heart, naturalist heart, Raiding Sweetgrass.
Okay. All right, we're going to put those into the show notes. My bookworm for the week is Loving What Is by Byron Katie. So I just feel like on this podcast, I can't ever recommend enough books. And my bookshelf at home, I'm still like half the way through the recommendations. So I'm always trying to like bring it back to the episodes. But it's so funny. I love books. And I think that growing up, like we didn't have TV and we lived on a farm. And so reading is, I'm so quick at reading. Like I can speed read and my mum writes in shorthand. So it's like, crazy. And she's a really fast reader. She can like double speed me. Like she's such a fast reader. And so growing up, reading was like our chill time. That was what we did. Yeah. And so now as an adult, it's kind of like what I revert to. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Love it.
All right, guys, that is it for today's episode. If you want to go and follow Harmony, her account is Finding Harmony. Thank you so much for today. Really appreciate it. And I hope that everybody got some great tips from that.
Thank you so much, Zoe.
Now, if you guys want to get involved, you can call through on the listener hotline on 0756 496 851 and continue the conversation in the closed Facebook group, which is Flourish and Fulfilled, or on Instagram, which is Flourish and Fulfilled as well. And what I might do is I might post in the closed Facebook group this week some of Harmony's top tips and share some of her book recommendations and stuff as well in there. So have a great week, guys. Until next week, I'll chat to you then. Bye.